Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Nun Zayin, and we are in the middle of the Amid on daf Kuf Nun Vav Amid Beis. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we learned the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Nun Vav Amid Aleph onto Kuf Nun Vav Amid Beis, where we saw that despite the fact we've been taking for granted that Divrei Shchiv Mira Kichsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami, it's not something that all the Tanaim unanimously agreed on. As a matter of fact, there's a Shitas Rabbi Elazar who's mentioned in the Mishnah who holds that we do not say Divrei Shchiv Mira Kichsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami. And if a Shchiv Mira wants to be Mechalik Nechasov, he wants to give away his possessions before he dies, he must do so in the conventional manner. He must do so in the same exact way that a Bari, that a Gezinta Mensch would do it. The Mishnah said, if it's Nechasim Sh'yesh L'Machrayis, then Kesef Shtar V'Chazaka. If it's Nechasim She'en L'Machrayis, then it's going to be Meshicha. The point is that there's no special privileges that the Chachamim afforded the Shchiv Mira. A Shchiv Mira is treated like a Bari. If he wants to be Makna his Nechasim to somebody else, he would have to do it Al Yedei Kinyan. So the Mishnah said, Amru Lo, they told him, but there was a Masa Shahaya Kachaya that seems to contradict your Psa Kalacha, Rabbi Lazar. Amru Lo, they told him, Maisa B'Iman Shal B'nei Reichel, the mother of the sons of Reichel, Shahis Sachayla, she was very sick, presumably a Shchiv Mira, and she said, Tnu Kvei Nasi L'Biti, she wanted that this expensive piece of jewelry that she had should go to her daughter, not to her son. She died, V'Kaimu Estvareh, and the Chachamim said that they keep it, based on this idea, L'Chayra, of Divrei Shchiv Mira, Kichsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami. So the Chachamim told Rabbi Elazar that maybe I don't have a Raya from a Pasuk in the Torah, a Drasha, Yud Gomu Midah Sha'atayr Nidrashas Behem, but I can tell you a story, and from the story of the Bnei Ruchel, we see that Divrei Shchiv Mira Kichsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami. Amar Lahem, Rabbi Elazar responded, Bnei Ruchel, Tikvarein Iman. May their mother bury them. As if to say that they deserve to die, the mother maybe deserved to be punished, which would seem to be a very ambiguous terror. It says the Gemara, my time to die. Why, first of all, was Rabbi Elazar cursing the Bnei Ruchel? What did they do so terrible? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shum, Kami Koitzim Mekarim Hoyer, because they violated the Isser Kalayim. They had a field that had Kerem, that had Kalayim in it. What kind of Kalayim? It was a vineyard where they were growing thorns. And this is Rabbi Elazar l'shitasa, who holds that the Isser Kalayim extends itself not only to two different types of plants, but even Koitzim, which is something that's not Meichel Adam, even something like that would be included in the Isser Kalayim. So being that they violated the Isser Kalayim, and they must have done it in some chutzpah dig away, some gaiva dig away, it's for that reason Rabbi Elazar went so far as to curse them. He said, "Bnei Ruchel, tikpareim iman." The Chachot Bishleimus says the Gemara, "Karkum chazi elokoytzim l'may chazi." The Gemara is explaining the shita of the Chacham that the Chachamim hold that there is no kalayim by koytzim because the only time this kalayim is something that people keep. Koytzim is not something that people keep. You're not going to have the halacha. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Lazar was of the opinion that there's an Isser Kalayim even by Koitzim. It's for that reason that he cursed the Bnei Ruchel, because they were Mekayme Koitzim Bekerem. Says the Gemara, Om Rab Chanina, my time with Rabbi Lazar. Why does Rabbi Lazar hold that there's an Isser Kalayim even by Koitzim? She came by Ravio, because in Arabia, Mekayme Koitzim is Hadis Ligmalim. There they used to keep it. So in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, it's true. There, if somebody had Koitzim, he'd get rid of it. So it's something that people don't keep. If you don't keep, that's somehow an exclusion from the parasha of Kalayim. But there are places, such as in Aravia, in Arabia, where people did keep it, and that was enough in Rabbi Elazar's world for there to be an Isser Kalayim. Bottom line is, they violated Isser Kalayim, that's why he went ahead and he cursed them. Now, the question, however, is, it's very nice that Bnei Ruchel tikber an imam. He wasn't happy with the Bnei Ruchel, but what does that have to do with this conversation? At the end of the day, we see from these bad people, let's call them, in Rabbi Elazar's world, that Divrei Shchiv Mira Kichsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami. There was a Chesh Mishpat dispute between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. The Chachamim said Divrei Shchiv Mira Kichsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami. Rabbi Elazar said not. The Chachamim said, I'll bring you a raya from a story. What was the story? Maisa Be'iman Shal Bnei Ruchel. Where you see that the Chachamim went along with the Divrei Shchiv Mira Kichsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami. So he told them back, Bnei Rucho? Terrible people. Oh, I hope they all die. Their mothers should be standing at their levaya. That's how terrible they are. That's what kind of punishment they deserve. What does that have to do with the point? The point is, could you bring a raya from them that divrei shchiv merak yichsurim lechem surim dami? Or could you not bring a raya from there that divrei shchiv merak yichsurim lechem surim dami? Says the Rashbam, Pashup Shana the Gemara, you have to say that what Belaza meant to say was that being that they were bad people, the Chachamim were very happy to take some of their mother's Yerusha away from them and give it to their sister, who apparently wasn't such a bad person. So usually we do not say divrei shchiv merachik ksuvim lechem surim dami. And based on that, when this mother died, despite the fact that she said tenu kvei nasi labiti, what should they have done with the jewelry? They should have given it to the sons. But being that bnei ruchel tikbrein iman, being that they were bad guys, the chachamim gave them a knas. They said, we're going to honor what the mother said as if it's real chosha mishpat. As if this piece of jewelry really belongs, not because it belongs to the Lord, it really doesn't. Because really, Divrei Shchiv Merah is not Kichsum Lechem Surim Dami. But to punish the sons who deserve punishment. Why? Because they were Mekayim Yekaitzeh B'Kerem. We're going to give it to the daughter instead of giving it to the son. And where do you find anywhere that the Chum have a right, they have an ability, a capacity to take something that really belongs to someone and give it to somebody else? Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. So they exercise their right, did the Chachamim of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, to Paskin Ahirah Shah. And to say that despite the fact there was no kinyan, still we are going to obligate this family to honor what the mother said, not because divrei shchiv merak yichsurim lechem surim dami, because really we do not say that. And echad bari ve'echad mesukin, if you want to give something over, even on your death, but you have to follow the conventional means, which is make a regular kinyan. The reason they did it here was to punish the boys. They didn't want the boys to yarshin this expensive piece of jewelry. They dafka wanted the girl to get it. Rashi in Masechtas Gittin daf tezvav amanav. This is at the very, very end of a festa perik. Perik Aviv you get. The very end of the first perik of Masechtas Gittin. So this Gemara comes up. Same exact exchange. And the Bnei Ruchel mentioned there, Rashi has a different shot. Rashi says that what the Gemara meant to say was that being that the Bnei Ruchel were bad people in Beis Medrash, the Chacham didn't want to talk about them. They didn't want to deal with them. The story wasn't so vetted out. Right? You always have to know when you hear a story. People leave out facts. Story evolves with time. It starts off one way and ends up looking very differently, which is okay if you just want to tell stories. But if you want to bring halacha from a story, then you have to verify. You have to make sure it's authentic. So the Chachamim, when they ever brought a story into a halachic discussion, they vetted it out, they went through each detail to make sure it was 100% authentic, because they weren't going to pass in a shayla based on a maisala. They had to really, really make sure that this was a true story. But being that the story involved people that the Chachamim didn't care for very much, people that they didn't even want to mention their name in Beis Medrash, so the story was never vetted out. And that's what Rabbi Elazar was saying. Rabbi Elazar said, Bnei Ruchel, take brain email. These are bad guys. This story wasn't vetted out. You can't bring me. If this is the only raya you have, that divrei shchiv merak you don't have any raya. Either way, you're allowed to do a kinyan with a shchiv merah even on Shabbos. Now the chiddush is Shabbos. I mean, of course, you can be koine kinyan mishchiv merah. Shchiv merah wants to make a ma'isa kinyan, make a ma'isa kinyan. How does it impact the laws of shchiv merah? So that's been one of the topics of the daf the last couple of weeks. But the chiddush is even on Shabbos, where mekach u'memkar is aser. It's something you're not allowed to do, but for shchiv merah, you're allowed to do it. And the point is that not only according to Rabbi Eliezer are you allowed to do it, where it would make sense you should be allowed to do it according to Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because in his world, the only way a shchiv merah could be makdis something is with a kinyan. So if you don't allow him to do a kinyan, then there's a real chash that he's going to die. The Shema Titchav Daitoi, which underpins a lot of the laws of Shchiv Merah, is very, very prevalent because he has no way of giving over his Nechasim verbally. The only way he can do it is through a Kinyan. If you're going to tell him, you can't do it today because it's Shabbos, Shema Titchav Daitoi, he's going to be very distraught emotionally, he's going to break down a little bit, and it may expedite his death. Even according to the Chachamim, however, says the Gemara, that you don't need to do a kinyan. Even according to the Chachamim, we allow the kinyan to take place. Why? What's the point of the kinyan? The point is that in his mind, sometimes people see it looking a little more real when they do a ma'isa kinyan. So it's not because you need to do a kinyan, but it just makes it more real. I mean that it makes it more real, we allow you to do it. Rabbi Eliezer says, B'Shabbos Dvarav Kayyamim. So again, divrei shchimra kichsum lechem surim dami. Stating that we just saw Mishnah shitas Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar holds you do not say divrei shchimra kichsum lechem surim dami. Now we're going to have a machloikis, not Rabbi Lazar, but Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says b'shabes dvarav kayamim a shchimra that is mechalik nechasav al piv. Divrei Shchivmera on Shabbos, you do say Kichsum L'chim Surim Dami. Why? Because he has no other way of giving it over. Avol Loi Becha, but not during the week. Because during the week, make a kinyan, write a shtar. There are things you could do during the week. There's no reason to rely merely on Divrei Shchivmera. Yeshua says B'Shabbos Amru, he could do it on Shabbos and Kal V'Chaymer Bechayel. If he could do it on Shabbos, he could certainly do it Bechayel. What's the reason? Says the Rashbam, because we know there's a rule Kal Aroi Lebila Ein Bila Makeves Bay. So if you could have done a kinyan, then you certainly could be makne it without a kinyan. The fact that it's chayil, you could do a kinyan, you're a roi labila, so then you could do it without a kinyan, meaning ain bila makeves bay. So if you could do it on Shabbos, where you're an ain a roi labila, where you can't do a ma'isa kinyan, certainly you'd be able to do it b'chayil, where you could do a kinyan. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's a pshara, a compromise. On Shabbos. Why? Because you don't have the conventional means available to you, because you can't do a regular kinyan on Shabbos. On Chol, where you could do a regular kinyan, you will not say Divrei Shchivmera Kichsum Dami. Rabbi Shua argues. Rabbi Shua says, B'Shabbos Amru Kal V'Chaymer B'Chol. You're always allowed to just with Dvarim make the Akna go through. Meaning, Divrei Shchivmera is always going to be Kichsum Chimsum Dami. By the way, Rabbi Eliezer, your logic that it makes sense in Svara that it should work on Shabbos and not work B'chayel, it's just the opposite. It makes more sense it should work B'chayel than it should work on Shabbos. Because Davka B'chayel, where you do have conventional means available to you, so it's Roy Labila over there, Ein Bila Makeves Bay. Shabbos, where it's Ein Roy Labila, Ein Bila Makeves Bay. Says the Gemara, Ki Yotze Bay, a similar machloikis, the logic of it, a similar machloikis you find in a totally unrelated sugya. Zachin La Katan, they Zachin La Gadol. So we all know the rule. Zachin La Adam, Shalay Bafanov. What about for a Katan? Is there Schia for a Katan, or is there no Schia for a Katan? So Rabbi Eliezer says, you could be Zaycha for a Katan, you can't be Zaycha for a Gadol. Why? A katan who has no way of being zaycha for himself, you could be zaycha on his behalf. A gadol who could be zaycha for himself, so there's no reason for you to be able to be zaycha on his behalf. This is, of course, not halacha. This is shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shua says, l'katan amr, you could be zaycha for a katan. Kal v'chaymer l'gadol. The logic is just the opposite. You certainly would be able to be zaycha for a gadol because the gadol is roi l'bila. He could do it himself, so it makes sense in bila makeves bay that someone else should be able to do it for him. A katan who's not able to do it himself, over there would be necessary for someone to be able to do it. So what's the parallel between the two machlokes? And it's the same exact idea. Rabbi Eliezer says that the chachamim will afford you a chiddush sometimes if you have no means of doing it. So divrei shchivmera kichsurim lechsurim dami, but only on Shabbos where you can't do a regular kinyan. Zachin la'adam shalei b'fanav, but only for a katan who has no way of doing it for himself. If you can't do it yourself, if you can't do something conventionally, so now we'll give you an unconventional way of making something happen. It's a special privilege that will allow you because you have no way of doing it in the regular way. Rabbi Yeshua says the logic is just the opposite. If I could do it conventionally, then maybe I could do it in an unconventional way. So b'chayel with the shchimra could make a kinyan, it's svara, it makes sense, he should be able to do it b'dvarim as well. A gadol who has schia, it makes sense that he should, a gadol could be zaycha for himself, it makes sense that you should say zachal adam shalei b'fanav as well. It just so happens Rabbi Yeshua argued on a separate point. He said Divrei Shchivmera Kichsum Dami is true on Shabbos as well, and Zachal Adam Shalei B'Fanav is going to be true for a katan as well. But the emphasis of the Gemara is the logic of it. Rabbi Eliezer saw it one way, Rabbi Shua saw it another way. They very often saw the world very differently. Rabbi Eliezer, of course, was from the Talmidim of Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yeshua, of course, was from the Talmidim of Beis Hillel, and they had diametrically opposed ways of looking at the world, and here it's very core logic that they're arguing. It manifests itself in different halachas, but the logic of it is just two ways of looking at something, and incredibly, they just saw it completely differently. Says the Gemara, Masnisa Mani, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehudi, the Tan. So we'll see now, the Gemara's going to bring a braisa that's going to bring the Machloikis Tanoim, Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, how to understand this machloikis tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So we're going to dig one layer deeper. Rameyo says, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Bechoyel Dvarv Kayam, and Divrei Shchivmeraz Kichsuvim Vichimsurim Dami Bechoyel, Mipnei Sheyachel Liftei, because he could write, Avol Loi B'Shabbos. So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer said, B'Shabbos, yeah, because there's no way of doing it, Avol Loi B'Chol, just make a Kenyan. In the Braisa, Rameyo says just the opposite, that Rabbi Eliezer holds, B'Chol he could do it, not B'Shabbos, B'Shua Omer. B'Shua says, B'Chol Omru, he could do it B'Chol, V'Kal V'Chol Mele Shabbos, if he could do it B'Chol, he certainly will be able to do it on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is the same. Both B'Shabbos and B'Chol. But in the logic, it's just the opposite. In the logic is, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua said it makes more sense that it should work B'Chol, less sense that it should work B'Shabbos. Why more sense that it should work B'Chol? Because B'Chol, where he could do a Kenyan, you're a Roy Labila over there and be the Makavis boy. It works Shabbos as well. But it makes more sense that you work B'Chol, said Rabbi Yeshua. In this Braisa, according to Rav Meir, Rabbi Yeshua, in logic, is saying it's just the opposite. That it actually makes more sense that you work B'Shabbos. It makes more sense that you work B'Shabbos because B'Shabbos, when you can't do it yourself, the Chachamim would give you another way to do it, which is Divrei Shchivmeraz Kichsuvim Dami. The same exact machloikis manifests itself regarding the halacha of Tzchiyah, like the Mishnah says, Zachon L'Gadol Vein Zachon L'Katan, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. It's the same Rabbi Eliezer. There is Zachon L'Adam Shlei B'Fanav for a Gadol. There's no Zachon L'Adam Shlei B'Fanav for a Katan. Why for a Gadol? Because he could do it himself. So he's a Roy Labila, Ein Bila Makeves Bay. A Katan who can't do it for himself, he's an Ein Roy Labila, Bila is Makeves Bay. Rabbi Shua says, Begadol Amru, it works for a Gadol, Kavachoymer Lekata. Rabbi Yehuda argued with Rav Meir as to what the Machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua was, and Rabbi Yehuda had it the way we had it in our Mishnah. The Rabbi Eliezer, holds B'Shabbos Tvarav Kayom, because he has no other way of doing it. Rabbi Yehuda, not during the week. Rabbi Yeshua says B'Shabbos Amru, if it works on Shabbos, Kal V'Chaymer B'Chol. It's certainly going to work B'Chol. Again, what's the Kal V'Chaymer? Because Madach Shabbos, where you ain't Roy Labila, certainly on Shabbos, where you're a Roy Labila. Yitzabai, same thing you're going to find. The Zachon Lakata means Zachon Lagadol, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shua, I'm a Lakata, and I'm a Kavachem Lagadol. Either way, the Gemara started. Masnis and Mani, Rabbi Yehuda, he was the Tan of our Mishnah. The Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning this Machloikis, Ramnei and Rabbi Yehuda, in the Braisa that the Gemara just brought, as to what exactly the proper Nusach HaMachloikis was between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, our Mishnah is clearly following Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Machlokes. It's not following Rabbi Meir's version of the Machlokes. Just one ha'ara worth noticing, not even mentioning so much, but at the very least worth noticing, and that is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Meir in the Braisa, was that Divrei Shchivmera Kichsuvim v'chimsurim dami b'chayil, but not on Shabbos. Ki yoytzabai, zochim l'gado, vein zochim l'katan. So we know the halacha of zochim l'adam shalei b'fanav. According to Rabbi Eliezer in the Braisa, aliba de Rab Meir, the only time you say zochim l'adam shalei b'fanav is for a gado. You do not say zochim l'adam shalei b'fanav for a katan. And Tosfos asks, why not? Banim Tosfos on kufnu nvav amadeis. Im toimar lama ein zochim l'katan. Halei zochim l'adam shalei b'fanav. V'yei shloimar. What does Tosfos say? The kiv on the zchiyah mitam shlichos. How does zchiyah work? It works with the parasha of shlichos. Man de matzi mash v'shliach yei shloim zchiyah. Man de loy matzi mash v'shliach. So says Tosfos that you want to know why, you want to know what the pshat would be that there should be schia for a gadol, there shouldn't be schia for a katan. It's very simple. Schia works mitam shlichos. A gadol who has a parash of shlichos, he'll have a parash of zochin la'adam shloi b'fanav. A katan doesn't have a parash of shlichos, he's not going to have the parash of zochin la'adam shloi b'fanav. Of course, this Tosfos relates to a Tosfos, yeshivish a Tosfos, mesechtes ksubis, daf yud aleph amid aleph in the sugi of ger katan. But the Gemara says ger katan matpilin oisai al das bezdin. That bezdin would be megayer a katan. Now, a katan has no das. He has no ability to be megayer himself. But the Gemara says, Zochen la'adam shalei b'fanav. So Zochen la'adam shalei b'fanav will be megayer even a katan. Then time, afrei tais, a long tais, a very short one. That's a very long tais. Then how could you tell me, Zochen la'adam shalei b'fanav for a katan? Schiyas mitan shlichos, ain't shlichos the katan. So tais over there says two terutzim. One teretz tais says that it's true. The whole Zochen la'adam shalei b'fanav for a katan is not midin teira. It's only midirabana. And even though, for example, in a case like this where you're going to allow a child who's not really a Jew become a Jew midrabanon, you're going to be creating a lot of complications. For example, this child, if he touches wine, could you drink the wine? Can you not drink the wine? Midday rice, he shouldn't be able to drink the wine. Why not? Because midday rice is not a yit. Midrabanon, zochel adam shloi b'fanav, even for a katan, he will be able to drink the wine. The chachamim are being oikudavim in a teira. Says Tosfos, it's true. The sugi of ger katan matpil and oisa adas bezdin goes according to the mandamer mesachtes yivamis perik to each a rabba that holds yesh koyach biat chachamim lak yudavim in a teira b'kum vasei. What a chiddush! But that's what Tosfos says. Nami Tosfos and the banim Tosfos says a whole nother teres. Tosfos says a kubit is a difference between a regular schus and a schus gomer. So a regular schos, that works me. Tam shlichos, that a cotton wouldn't have. But where it's a schos gomer, becoming a yid, ashubach arbonu, mikol ha'am, and the nasalanu as teirasai. Something on that level of schos, maybe that's going to be different. That could be would apply either to a cotton. So over there, Tosfos starts off not understanding how it's possible to have schir by a cotton. Tosfos over here comes from the other angle. Tosfos, a man damer that holds his no schir for a cotton, what's going on? Loma in zachen l'cotton. Says Tosfos, what he thought, when he started in Ksubas Yod Aleph Amen Aleph, it's because Schi is mitam shlichos, ain't shlichos the cotton. Aye, how then are you going to answer it according to the man that holds there is Schi for a cotton? That's that Tosfos in Ksubas, Daf Yod Aleph Amen Aleph, Kiveger, this festa red. We've spoken about it so many different times. You can refer to Ksubas Yod Aleph, Bav Mitzia Ayin Aleph, I'm sure many other times. Either way, Zach the Mishnah Vayter, Nafal, Habayis, Olav, V'al Aviv. Says the Mishnah. There was a man and his father, they were both in the house, and lo yaleinu, the house fell, and father and son both died. Lo yaleinu, oy, olav, v'al meirishav. Wasn't a man and his father, it was a man and somebody else that he was entitled to yarsh. V'hoysa olav ktsubas ishu b'al chayiv, and this person had a wife to whom he was going to owe a ksuba now that he died. Ubal chayif, or he had an ordinary bachar. Yershi of Oimrim, and a fight broke out. The Yershim of the father are saying that haben meis rishon, v'achakach meisav. That first the son died, I mean, they don't really know. First the son died, and then afterwards the father died. Ubali achayiv Oimrim, the bali chayiv are saying, ha'av meis rishon, first the father died, v'achakach meisav, then, and then the son died. Who cares? Why does it matter who died first? It's very simple. This man died, he was broke, he had no money. So despite the fact that he had bali chayvis, there was nothing they could do. There was nothing to collect. But if his father died before he died, then this son just fell into a Yerusha. If he yarshid nechasim, now when he dies, moments later, his wife has from where to collect the ksuba. His bal chayv has from where to collect the chayv, because hagam, he's not alive anymore, but there's nechasim mishubadim, so whoever is going to end up with the money at the end of the day will now have assets that he yarshin that come along with attached chayvis, with attached liabilities that they're going to have to satisfy. So again, there was a man who had a bal chayv, ksubas isha, he also had no money. He was in a house together with his father, the house comes down, he and his father both died. There's some random person, Yankel, he's going to end up yarshin this whole estate. He's the next in kin in terms of getting this Yerusha. Right now, the Baal Chayiv comes forward and the Baal Chayiv tells these Yarshin, he says, listen, you know, I want to take you to Beis Din because I think that the son died first. The father died first. If the father died before the son, that means when the father died, who do Yerusha go over to? And what happened to Mimela? You don't need a Maisa Kenyan for this. This automatically happens. So the son Yarshin. The moment the son Yarshin, he now has an obligation to pay me. His nechasa become a shubah to me. It's true he's not alive anymore, but chavis, Nova Beshtar, Ksubas Isha, you could be Gaiva even from the Nechasa Meshubadim. So you took it essentially from my Baal Chayv. The woman is saying, you got it from my husband. I have a right to take now from you what was Meshubah to me because you're my Meshubadim and there's a real Chayv. The Yerushim are saying, I'm not so sure that's what happened. I don't know if that's what happened. Maybe the son died first. If the son died first, when he died without any money. The father died afterwards. It's true. Had the father died first, then the son would have Yerushimed. So now it would have been chala shibud on those nechassim. So now the Baal Chayiv can go collect from the nechassim and shubadim. But that's only true if the father died first. What if the son died first? If the son died first, he never had it. If he never had it, it was never chala shibud. So who gets it? How do you deal with this? They're tiny and the father died first. He's saying the son died first. There's a whole shayv over here. How exactly do you work this out? So lo and behold, it's machlikis b'shami b'sil. B'shami yevim yachliku. B'shami say that loch is yachliku b'silim. B'sil will say nechassim b'chaskasim. B'sil is easy. B'sil says, who's the muchzik on the money right now? The Yarshim for sure have it. The Shai listens, the Baal Chayiv have a Shibud? Does he not have a Shibud? So, Hamoitze Mechaveroi, Oliver Raya. Beis Shammai says, no, it's not so simple. Because Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Shtar Ha'oimed Ligvois to Gavoy Dami. That if I have a Shtar, if I'm a Baal Chayiv or a woman that has a Ksuba that says that you owe me money, if I have a Shtar that says you owe me money, it's as if I'm Muchzik in the money just as much as you're Muchzik in the money. So the way we look at it is as if the Yarshim are Muchzik, for sure, but also the Baal Chayiv is Muchzik. Why is he muchzik? Because he's holding a shtar. And shtar ha'imid ligvois is kegavui dami. You're not just muchzik in the piece of paper. We look at you as being muchzik in the money represented by this piece of paper. They're both muchzik. If they're both muchzik, the halacha is going to end up being yach loiku. Now this is really a sugya in Perek HaChoylitz and Masechtas Yevamis. It's one of the more difficult sugyas in a very difficult Masechta, Masechtas Yevamis. The Gemara gets involved here in the sugya of Sofik Maitzi Midei Vadei, Ain't Sofik Maitzi Midei Vadei. But as far as a Pashup Shah in the Mishnah, I think we did justice to that, and we can begin the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. Tanan Hasam. We learned in the Mishnah, if somebody lends his friend money, and there's a shtar that is documenting this chayv. The halach is, the malvus goyvim in a chasim mishubadim. If, when he comes to collect the chayv, the loiva has no money, but he had certain possessions at the time of the loan, why does he have no money now? Because he's since given them away, he sold them, he gifted them, he died and it went over Birusha. Right now, the nechassim are in somebody else's possession. Being that the original milva was a milva b'shtar, those nechassim are mishubid to the schoiv, and the malva has a right to go be goiva even from the nechassim mishubadim. Now, well, let's play it out. Reuven lends $1,000 to Shimon. At the time, Shimon owned $10,000 worth of property. Reuven comes to Shimon a year later when the loan is due. He says, you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, I don't have $1,000. He says, what about that piece of property that you had? I sold it. Where's the money? I don't have it. He says, I don't have anything. If it was a milva b'shtar, Reuven can now go to Levi, who bought the property from Shimon, and he can tell Levi, you know, that piece of property that you bought from Shimon, it was b'shuvah to me. He had a right to sell it to you, but there was a lien, which gave me a right to go and take it from you in the event that Shimon wasn't going to have any money. It was a milva b'shtar. Shtar has a coil. You should have known that, Levi. Reuven can go to Levi. He can take the field away from Levi. Now, does Levi have recourse back to Shimon? It depends. We have to pull out the sale agreement and we have to see what it says. It should say something. If it says that Levi is going to have a right to go back to Shimon in the event that a Baal Chayiv comes and takes the field away from him, so then he can go back to Shimon. If it doesn't say that, then he won't have a right to go to Shimon. There is a Shittas HaChachamim that holds Achrayas Toy Seferu, that even if it doesn't say it, it's always assumed that the Sefer maybe made a mistake. It should have been there. It was just a bad lawyer, but really, it should have been somewhere in the documents. But the bottom line is that that's the basic halacha of Nechasim Mishubadim.
And the point going back to Shimon, he has no money anyways.
What's that?
The point going back to Shimon, there's no money.
So he can now go maybe to Shimon's Nechasim Mishubadim. Well, first of all, later. Maybe. First of all, later. Okay, so two things. First of all, maybe later I'll have money. And number two, what would be, exactly, if when Levi goes back to Shimon, Levi's going to be able to collect from Shimon's Mishubadim, just like Reuven was able to collect from Shimon's Mishubadim.
He bought it. Levi bought everything.
But what, any other things that he might have had at the time?
Other fields.
Other fields that he had. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That's how this works. But there's a lumdus over here. And the lumdus is, the reason Reuven's allowed to go to Levi and take the field that Levi bought from Shimon is because the field that Shimon sold Levi was meshubit to Levi. There was some sort of kinyan, ke'ilu, for lack of a better word, that Reuven had in this field that limited Shimon's ability to just sell it free and clear. He couldn't sell it free and clear. There was a real lien that was perfected on behalf of Reuven. Reuven had a kinyan, a chaloy, something real from a chayshon mishpat standpoint in this field, and that's what allows him to now go take this field away from Levi. But says the Mishnah, that's only true if you malves chaveroi be shtar. If you malves chaveroi be edim, meaning it's a milval peh, there's no shtar, there the halach is goyvim minachas b'nei chayrim. You can collect, but only from the nechas b'nei chayrim. You have no right to collect from the nechas b'shubadim. And again, what's the difference? Because the nechas b'shubadim, there's a koil. When there's a shtar, there's a koil. And being that there's a koil, so Levi knows before he buys the field from Shimon that there's an outstanding debt. He knows that there's a possibility that this may play itself out. But if there was some backdoor loan that wasn't documented anywhere, that nobody knows about, it was a milva yudayedim, but it wasn't a milva bishtar, then how's Levi supposed to know? Levi's going to be way too exposed. He's way too vulnerable. So the Chachamim said that Reuven can collect the field from Shimon, but he can't go now and take it from Levi. Says the Gemara, Boy Yishmuel, de'ikni v'kana ma'u. What would be if somebody does a milva bishtar? Where the halacha is that all his nechasim are going to be meshubat to this loan. Again, what does it mean, the nechasim are meshubat to the loan? That if the loiva sells a field, the malva is going to be able to go take the field away from the loiva. What if at the time of the loan, Shimon didn't have any fields? But he wrote in the shtar, he said, I plan on buying property. And when I buy property in a month from now, I want that property to be meshubat to your loan right now. Could he do that or could he not do that? Is that something he has an ability to do? Or is it something he doesn't? It's not going to affect the Lekuchas. Lekuchas aren't going to be affected. Levi's not going to be affected. Because at the end of the day, whenever Levi decides 6 months from now to buy Shimon's field, as long as there was an outstanding shtar, he knows that there's a possibility that Reuven's going to go take the field from him. So we're not hurting the Lekuchas. There's no pseida the Lekuchas over here. The question is a more lumdisha question. The question is that being that Shibud works with a kinyan of some sort, it's a real chalois that is chal in this property on behalf of the Malva, and perhaps you could only create a Shibud on something that's ba'olam at the time that you loaned the money. But if the field was not ba'olam at the time that you loaned the money, you perhaps have no ability to go and create the shibud. Says the Gemara, Bayishmul, the ikni bekana mao, can you create a shibud in a piece of property that the loiva did not have at the time of the loan? Zok the Gemara, Ali, but there are mayor, the other machna davish leba loyalam, according to a mayor that holds other machna davish leba loyalam, bayalach, the vadai kana. If I could be machna davish leba loyalam, I could certainly be meshabe to davish leba loyalam. Kiti bayalach libi the rabbat, the shayal is according to rabbat. The amri who hold ain't other machna davish leba loyalam. Do you say that Shibud is different, or is that what's the story that Shibud should be different? So we'll talk about that tomorrow. But for now, the Gemara is going to attempt to bring some rayas to this shayla. Could a loiva be meshabed a davar shaloi b'la'ilam, or could he not be meshabed a davar shaloi b'la'ilam? Again, Reuven lends Shimon money. It's a milva b'shtar. That means all of Shimon's assets are going to be meshubed to Reuven's loan. Which means that if Shimon sells off one of his assets, Reuven's going to have a right to go to that loikeach and to collect, take that piece of property from the Lekech. The question is, what if Shimon didn't have this particular field at the time of the loan, and he only bought it later, but he wrote in the shtar, clearly, that anything that I buy at some future date, as long as the loan is outstanding, I'm willing to be meshabed to this loan. Could he do it, or could he not do it? What's the shayla? It wasn't ba'olam at the time of the loan, so at the time that you want to create the shibud, which is the time of the loan, it's not here. Could you be meshabed adavet shloi ba'olam or not? Zok the Gemara, according to Rambam, you can even be machna adavet shloi ba'olam. So leiti ba'olach. So this is an excerpt of a sugya at the very end of Masechtas Ksubas. So Masechtas Ksubas ends on a very light note, if you remember. All the Agadot Gemaras that talk about Eretz Yisrael, we learned it Shavuos night a few years ago. Beautiful, beautiful Gemaras. Last two, three daf in the Masechtas Ksubas. But the very last daf before those light daf, and it's a very heavy daf. It's a rather intense black Gemara, and the Gemara that brings the Machlokes Adman and the Chachamim regarding a case where there was a dispute between two people. You owe me $1,000. I don't owe you $1,000. You do. You don't. And then we find out afterwards that the Malva, who claims that the Loiva owes him $1,000, had very recently sold him a piece of property and gotten $1,000 for the property. And the Admon argued that that's checkmate. He just showed his hand. Because basically, if he really had a claim to get $1,000 from this guy, then why would he have sold him a field to get $1,000? He would have taken the $1,000 without giving him the field. So the fact that he gave him a field in exchange for $1,000 would seem to be a raya, that he had no other basis of getting the field. Amr le chachamim, the chachamim told him, no way. It's the opposite. This guy's a soicher. This guy's a smart businessman. He wanted to collect. The problem is, this guy was avoiding him. He told me he had no money or whatever exactly was going on. But he figured he has a great idea. Let him get his hands on a piece of property worth $1,000. Once it's a piece of property worth $1,000, it'll be much easier for him to make his move. The problem is he had no money. He had no karka. I'll sell it to you. He got his $1,000. Now he's going to go after the field. See, he's being a seich. But what's the Gemara's kasha? That if you're going to tell me that you can't be mashabed, it was never chal b'shibud. But the Gemara says a great teretz. Amalei Rava, minei ka'amen. No, you're making a mistake. And this goes into the gut of what we're talking about here. Minei afilu meglimad al kasve. Ki kami boyalach, di ikni kanu machar, di ikni kanu v'hoirishmai. He says, hey, you're making a mistake. When we talk about shibud, what do we mean? What's a shibud? A shibud is the taich that I loan you money, you're nechasim, I'm a shibud to me. And meaning, if you don't have those nechasim now, I can go after whoever has it. So Reuven loaned money to Shimon. Shimon had property. He sold the property to Levi. Reuven can go to Levi based on the laws of shibud. But let's say Shimon has property. Shimon has whatever it might be. Of course Reuven's allowed to go after it. What if at the time of the loan, Shimon was worth $10,000. And the $10,000 that he had, he's since lost. Now Reuven comes to collect the loan. Shimon's a great segvir, sitting on millions of dollars of assets. He wants to collect it. Shimon's going to say, I know I owe you money, but you know, I didn't have any of this stuff. I didn't have at the time of the loan. So it was like Bala Olam. We passing like the Chachamim. We don't passing like our mayor. We passing the Chachamim. I'm not giving it to you. That's Amaratzis. That makes no sense. Why? Because even if you're going to tell me, ain't other Meshab Dovish Label Oilam, but if you have it right now, you got to give it to me. I feel a glimmer al Kasba, you have to take your tuxedo off and give it to the Malvim. You have to do whatever you need to do to satisfy your obligation. The Shail of Shibud is only Nagay if you don't have it right now. That's where it's Nagay. So in this case, there's no Shaykhis. I'm going to lay rubber. He says, what are you talking about? Mine ka Amrit? Mine? From the loy valen, I feel a bit gleaming on Kaspe. You take his rekel from him. You take whatever you need to take. Ki kami boil on the whole shaila in the Gemara is where you didn't have something at the time of the law. Then you acquired it, and you've since gotten rid of it. So the only schus that the malva has to take it is shibud. That's the shaila. Was it chal shibud or not? What's the tzad? It shouldn't be chal because ain't other meshabe davar shloim b'leilam. Maybe not. Maybe there's a chiluk between being makne davar shloim b'leilam and being meshabe davar shloim b'leilam. That is the shaila. But either way, you have no raya from the end of ksubis. I'm Rav Chana Tashma. I'll bring you a raya from our mishnah. Bava basra kuf nun zayin. Nafal abayis olav al aviv. Olav al meirisha. Bais olav ksubis ishav al chayiv. Yorshi avaymir. What was the case of the mishnah? Case was where there was a man and his father. They were both in a house. The house fell down. They both died. And the question is, who died first? The son had Bali Chayvis. The Bali Chayvis are arguing that the father died first, so the son Yarshin the Chayv. Being that the son Yarshin the Chayv, the Bal Chayv can now collect from the one who Yarshin the son, which is Mishubadim. That's where it's going to come into the Shaila. The Yarshin Matayning, I don't know if that's what happened. I think the son died first. If the son died first, he never Yarshin his father, at least not Michayev. He never let Yashin his father. If he never Yashin his father, he never came into possession of money. So there's no one to collect from. There's no Meshubadim. There's nothing here. What's the Shail of Esau? And if you're going to tell me that the only time Shibud is Chal is only on a Dovah Shabbalah, on a Dovah Shabbalah, Shibud is not Chal. Nay, Nami the Ovim Ispiresha. Even if it's true that the father died first, so that the son Yashin, but right now, where's the Nechasim? The Nechasim is in the possessions of the Yarshim. The Yarshim Amishu Badim, the Iknihu. And he didn't have this at the time of the loan, right? The son didn't have this. He just Yarshim at this second. 12 seconds before he died is when he came into the possession of it. And you don't want to collect it from the son. The son's not alive. Who are you collecting it from? The one that Yarshim from the son. He's no different than the one that bought it from Shimon. He's the equivalent to Yarshim. Ha'av and the Yarshi Aben in this story are the equivalent of Levi in our previous story. You're not getting it directly from the Loiva. You're taking it from the Mishubadim. And you're taking something that clearly wasn't Ba'olam at the time. Elamayat Zaraya. that even though ain adam makne davar shloi b'loilam, but adam meshabe davar shloi b'loilam. Amalu Rav Nachman Zeira Chavim Tirgama Mitzvah Liyisayim L'Frei Chavis Amin. Don't bring me a raya from here. But it could be true. Maybe there really is no shibud. Maybe there's no shibud. But at the same time, there is a taina that the Baal Chayv should be able to go over to the Yorshei HaBen to collect, not because of the laws of Shibud. Again, why are there no laws of Shibud? Because it was Leib HaLa'ilah. You couldn't be Meshabbos. But the reason you have the ability to go over to the sons is because there's a mitzvah, and a more abstract mitzvah, Ala Yisoyimim, Lefroya, Chayv HaSavim. Rashi says in Ksubas Tzadik Aleph on the days that it's related to the mitzvah of Kibud Avim. We have a lot of raid prepared for this, but we're going to speak that out in Yetzishem tomorrow. Maskev Rav Ashi, Milva Alpehu. Rav Ashi asks that Lechura, isn't this Milva Alpeh? The Rav Shmuel, the Amri Travayu, Milva Alpeh, Eine Goyva, Loimen Ayarshin, Loimen Alakuchais. So that shouldn't be able to work either. Says, meaning, the only time you say mitzvah l'yisoyimim l'freya is only if it's a milva b'shtar. But if it's a milva alpeh, you don't say. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ela ha-mani rameir hi da'amar adam makne dava shaloi bala oilam. A more easy answer. You're right. The Mishnah is a raya. The Mishnah is a raya that you can be meshabed even a dava shaloi bala oilam. The Gemara wanted to bring a raya from there that even though the Chachamim hold ain adam makne dava shaloi bala oilam, but they hold adam meshabed dava shaloi bala oilam. So the Gemara, it's not a raya. Maybe the Mishnah is rameir. Oh, by the way, it's not Mishnah, is always rameir. So maybe the Mishnah is rameir who holds adam makne dava shaloi bala oilam. Oh, if you hold adam makne dava shaloi bala oilam, then so too adam meshabed. I'll bring you another raya. So if on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, two people sit down, they're going to write a shtar. If the shtar has to have a date. If the date is muktim, so on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, they write Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they back it up a couple of months, the shtar is going to be pasul. Why is it going to be pasul? Because when you have a milvah b'shtar, you can be given from the nechasim mishubadim. You can therefore buy or take from anyone that bought from the loiva after the date of the shtar. If you're going to predate the shtar, that means you're going to have an ability to be toyer from anyone who bought field from the loiva between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and that's like it in. Because the whole basis of why you're allowed to be goyver from the Chasam Meshubadim is the loiva knew. There was a buyer beware. There was a skull and crossbones. He knew to be careful. How did he know to be careful? Because there was a shtar chayv out there. That was a cup. But really, here there wasn't a shtar chayv. There's going to be a shtar that's going to suggest that there was a shtar chayv because there's going to be a shtar dated Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But they predated it. So it's for that reason it doesn't work. But Mucharin does work. So let's say Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, you want to write Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, you want to move it forward a couple of months. There's no reason because there's no pseudo delakuchais over there. So there's no reason that that's something you should be able to do. Who's losing out? If anything, the Malva's losing out. Because the any person that buys between the time of the loan and the date written in the shtar, the malva who ordinarily would have a schus to be goyver from won't be able to be goyver from. If the malva doesn't care, he's waiving his right to go after these people, then we're not going to care either. We're not going to care more than the malva is going to care. So shtar chayv mocha is going to be kosher. What does that do with our sugya? If you're going to tell me that there's an idea that ain adam meshabed davar shloi b'loilam, amayk sherim, why is it kosher? The iknehu, you be meshabed davar shloi b'loilam. Because if you're going to be ma'achad the shtar, what's going to happen? Essentially, any property that the loiva has before the date of the shtar, or at the date that's written in the shtar, is going to be meshubet to the law. Why is it going to be meshubet to the law? Because it's going to be understood that this was the day the loan took place, and if this is the date that the loan took place, any karka that he has is going to be meshubet. Here's the problem. The loan didn't happen today. The loan happened 3 months ago. We post-dated the loan. Now, we thought, who cares? What harm are you doing by post-dating the loan? Usually, you think in terms of the lekuchas. There's no pseid of the lekuchas. If you predate the document, there's pseid of the lekuchas. If you post-date it, there's pseid of the malva. He's the only person that's being affected. We don't care about it. But if you tell me there's a new issue over here, there's a yisoydistig issue, there's a lamdisha issue, there's an issue that shibud can only be chal on a dover that's ba'ilam at the time of the loan. But something that's not ba'ilam at the time of the loan, just like the Chachamim hold, ain al demak ne dover shloi ba'ilam, so too ain al demishabe dover shloi ba'ilam. So if the loan happened today, and the shtar is written 3 months from now, if something was acquired between today and 3 months from now, should there be chal shibud on it? No, because it wasn't ba'ilam at the time of the loan. Will there be chal shibud on it? Yes, because the shibur is going to go based on the date that's written in the law. So we just found the harm. The thought always was, what harm is there by a shtar mocher? This is something that you find in many places in Shas. A shtar mukhtim, oh, that's horrible. That's like the worst thing. A shtar mocher, not a big deal. The only person that could lose that is the malva. If the malva sits down and he agrees to it, nobody cares. So a shtar mocher has never been an issue until this sugya. Because if there's a problem with being the Shabbat Adav Shleib Alaylam, every shtar mocher is going to run you into such issues. And since shtar mocher is the kosher, isn't that a raya? That despite the fact that in the makna davar shleib alaylam, adam mishabe davar shleib alaylam, nothing more, no. It's only a raya if you assume that that mishnah of shtari chayv hamukdam and psulim, and v'amuchar and ksherim is going according to the chachamim. But hamani rameyer, it's really going according to rameyer, the adam, the Amar who holds Adam Makne Davar Shaloi Ba Le Olam Amar Amisharshia Mishmei Derava Toshma the Shvach Karkois Ketzad Harish Machar Sada Lechaveroi. If somebody sells a field to his friend, this one's a little confusing, so it's going to take everything we just learned and we're going to put it together in one big convoluted case. So somebody sold a field to his friend Vehishbicha. So Shimon sold a field to Levi. Why am I starting with Shimon? Because we're going to have to bring Reuven into the story soon. So Reuven loaned money to Shimon. Shimon sold the field to Levi. Right? That's been the... This is my story and I'm sticking to it. That's what we've been talking about till now. So Shimon sells his field to Levi. The Hishbicha. And Levi works the field for a year. And the field was once worth $10,000. Now the field's worth $20,000. This field's worth a lot of money. And then, lo and behold, Levi's worst nightmare, a man comes knocking on the door. He tells Levi, that field that you bought from Shimon was meshuvah to me. That shtar choyv, you should have known about it. It was a milvah b'shtar. I could be goyver from the nechazim b'shuvadim. I'm taking the field away from you. Now, Levi is going to go back to Shimon. He's going to exercise his right to recourse. He's going to go back to Shimon. He's going to tell Shimon, I paid $10,000 for a field. I want it back. When Levi goes back to Shimon, this is Gishmak, he can collect the $10,000, his keren, from Shimon's Nechasim Meshubadim. Meaning if Shimon had another field at the time that he sold this field to Levi, but he doesn't have it anymore because he since sold it to Yehuda. So Levi can go to Yehuda and collect the keren, the principal, the amount of money that he paid for the original field, which was $10,000. But v'es hashvach, if he wants to collect the extra $10,000, he can collect that as well. But that he's only goyvim minachasim lecharen. That he doesn't have a right to go to Yehuda for. That if Shimon has the money, he can take it from Shimon. If not, he can't take it. So again, what happened? Reuven loaned money to Shimon. Shimon had a piece of property at the time. He sold the piece of property to Levi. Reuven now goes to Shimon and he says, I want my money. He says, I don't have any money. He says, okay, I'm going to Levi. So he goes to Levi. He takes his field. How much was Levi's field worth? $20,000. Originally, when Levi bought it from Shimon, it had been worth $10,000. But he's since been mashpiach the field. He appreciated the value of the field. It's now worth $20,000. Levi gives the $20,000 field over to Reuven. Reuven's happy, he's satisfied, he got what he needed to get. Levi now goes back to Shimon. He's not happy. So he says, Shimon, that field that I paid $10,000 for, which by the way, I put another $10,000 into it, it's a $20,000 field, was taken away from me. So he says, Shimon, I want you to give me $20,000. Shimon says, Chavish kan geld. What do you want me to do? The halacha is like this. If Shimon had another piece of property at the time that he sold the field to Levi, that he's since given or sold to Yehuda, so the $10,000, the principal amount of what Levi bought from Shimon, Levi would have a right to go collect from Yehuda. Meaning he's taking it from Shimon's Nechasim Meshubadim. But the extra $10,000, the Shvach, that he won't be able to take from him. That you can only be Goyvra from the Nechasim Meshubadim. But what do you see from this story? You see one thing from this story. There's one punchline that's relative to our story right here. When Reuven went and took the field from Levi, what did he take from Levi? He took the whole $20,000 field. He didn't just take the $10,000. He took the $20,000. Stelzach the Frage. If you're going to tell me that the way Shibud works is it's only chal on what's ba'olam, but something that's not ba'olam is never chal on shibud. So l'chayra, Reuven only had a right to take from Levi the original $10,000 field. Any shvach, any extra $10,000, Reuven should have had no right to take from Levi. Why not? because that was not Ba'olam at the time that Reuven loaned the money to Shimon. How do you know it wasn't Ba'olam? Shimon was the one, Levi was the one that was Mashbech, and he was Mashbech a year later. So it wasn't Ba'olam. If it wasn't Ba'olam, it's not Meshubin. If it's not Meshubin, Reuven has no right to take it. So the whole case of Shvach Karkois Ketzad, it's like a schmack, a case when you get it. It makes no sense if you don't try. But if you work on it and you think about it, it's actually a nice, beautiful geschmacky Gemara. But in light of the fact that there's a tzad in the Gemara that you can't be Meshabit, Adav Shalei Balaylam says, the fight is done. It doesn't get out the first base because it only starts with Reuven taking away the whole $20,000, getting the Shvach Karkois. L'choy the Shvach Karkois was never Meshubit. Let's just see it inside. The Yisol G'day Tachtikni Kano Machtikni Kano V'Hoyrish Loi Meshabit Balchoy. The original Balchoyv, who's that? Reuven, how is he able to take the Shvach from Levi in the first place? We have a whole halacha. When Levi goes back to Shimon, he can't take the Shvach from Shimon's Mishubadim. He could only take it from his Bnei Chayr. But it suggests that Reuven took the Shvach from Levi. Why was Reuven allowed to take the Shvach? Zok to Gemara, the same teretz. This is a one-size-fits-all teretz to every kasha we had in the sugya. Amani Rav Meir, Dama Adam Machta Dava Shloi B'Loyim. Okay, you want to make a raya that even though the Chachamim hold Ein Adam Machta Dava Shloi B'Loyim, but they hold Adam Mishabed Dava Shloi B'Loyim. Amani Rav Meir, maybe we're going according to Rav Meir, and according to Rav Meir, Adam Mishabe Davish Loibalam Fashtitzach, because Rameir holds Adam because Rameir holds Adam Machna Davish Loibalam. So we promised that we were gonna get into cutting part 3 today, but it got late early. We had to really get into the weeds of the sugya. So Bezrat Hashem, we'll have to pick it up either tomorrow or Friday.
This is the field boy.